Thank you, choir. You know, we're supposed to let our light shine, aren't we? But you know what's amazing about light? A light can help illuminate our paths, or a light can be so blinding that we cannot see a thing. I remember when I first got my driver's license, I was one of those kids that was not in a super big hurry to get my driver's license when I turned 16, because I was the oldest kid in the family. And I knew that as soon as I had my license, then I was the taxi cab driver. And so I really didn't want to take my sister or my younger brother around. So I just took my time getting my driver's license. But when I got it, I remember one night, it was after one of our youth events at the church, and I was taking some of my friends home. And it was one of those very foggy nights. It was really the first time that I ever drove in that type of real dense fog. And I remember my training, you know, keep your lights on low. And so I was driving along, creeping along, I should say. And also I turned around this corner, and then there was a car headed toward me. Well, he didn't know that you're supposed to keep his lights on low. He had them on bright. And it was so blinding, I could not see a thing. So I just had to stop and wait till he got by before I proceeded on. You know, it's amazing how a lot of times we look at light, and it is that way. Sometimes it's beneficial. Sometimes it's so bright that it can be harmful. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, I think that's some of the stuff that he was dealing with. He was dealing with passions on people's, on what they had in mind. And some of the things that people were saying were not really resonating true. So he was trying to warn the believers in Corinth. He says, be careful what you're hearing. Because it may sound good, it may look good, but it's also very deceptive. Words who are true then are words that are true now. So let me read to you this morning part of what the Apostle Paul was saying. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. So let me invite you to stand with me this morning. It says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated this morning. I want to take you through two scenarios that we read about when we read Scripture. One is Moses. Moses, who went up on Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments. And if you remember, after he was there, he came down. The people had made a golden idol. They're disruptive. He was so mad, he threw the commandments down, broke them. Then he had to go back up and get them again. But you know what's amazing is that when there's the time that he spent on a mountain, he was there talking with God. He was there as the glory of God passed by. In fact, spending 6 days with God, when he came back down, what the people saw was not necessarily what he was carrying. They did not see the words from God. What they saw was the radiance of his face. And when they saw the radiance, it's interesting. What Scripture says is that they were frightened. They were afraid. Can you imagine that? Someone being afraid because the glory of God is shining on their face? Can you imagine that, that someone could spend that much time with God, and then when they came out and people saw what the influence of God is on their lives, they were not rejoicing, but they were afraid. In fact, they were so afraid that what Moses did, he took a veil and he covered his face so that the people could not see the radiance of God. That strikes me as odd, because we're supposed to let our light shine. We're supposed to let the people see the radiance of God through our lives. But as I begin to think and wonder, I go, could it be possible that instead of just seeing the radiance of God, what they see frightens them? And could it be or need to be veiled in some way? I think sometimes that we can be so zealous, we can be so passionate, we can be so on fire for our God and for what He is doing in our lives, and we want to be so eager to tell this world all about our God and what He has to offer, that instead of people seeing it, they see our zealousness, they see our passion, and they're taken back by it. And I wonder sometimes if we need to veil it a little bit for people to understand. I remember I was in youth ministry and we began talking about what Scripture says, right? And all the times when we started getting into the Ten Commandments, and we would start talking about them, and the youth, my youth group would kind of go, well, why? Well, why? Well, why? I thought they were like three-year-olds, right? Why? 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 And when you hear that question enough, what do you say as parents? Because I said so. Yeah. And you know what we do in the church? When people start going, well, why? We why? Why? What do? Because the Bible says so. Yeah, it does. But the problem is that a lot of times we don't create the space for people who struggle, for people who have questions, for people who doubt. We don't allow the space for people to ask those questions. And we fail to confront the tough questions that we face in our faith. And because we're afraid to do that, or because we don't know how to do that, then we fall back and says, well, because the Bible says so. And we fail to explain that there is a God who loves each and every one of us. And because that God who loves us understands that if there are not some boundaries in our lives, then we could just run amok. And that's why I used to try to tell people, says God just doesn't give us a bunch of do this's and don't do that's just for the heck of it. But He does it because of His love for us. But what I've discovered is that people aren't going to hear that. You know what the old saying is? People don't care what you know till they know that you care. And that's what I found it is with most folks. It's been a tough week, people. And I kind of hope that y'all have not been tuning in to all this stuff with our general conference, because it's been divisive. It's been ugly a lot of ways, a lot of ways. A lot of people have been hurt. So now if your mind is tweaked and you want to go home and start Googling it, don't. It's a distraction. But they're tough questions. And people will sometimes be saying, well, Jim, what do you believe on it? And if you've discovered, there's a lot of those tough questions I have not addressed yet. Because I've only been here 2 years. And that's not that long a time in reality. Not when you only see me on Sundays, for most of you. And before I can address those tough questions with you or with anybody else, there's something that I think is more important. I want you to know that I love you. And I care for you. And I only want for you to be shaped and molded by the grace of our God. Because listen, if you don't understand that, then what I say could be misinterpreted in so many ways. That's the way it is with your friends who are struggling with their faith. They need to know, first of all, that you love them. And then you can start working together with the tough questions. Sometimes our light can be so bright that actually it blinds people. Another scenario. Jesus with Peter and James and John went up on the mountain. And when they were up on the mountain, all of a sudden Jesus was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, so bright, brighter than bleach could ever clean it, is what some translations say. And there all of a sudden, then Elijah and Moses appeared with him. And Peter and James and John, they were so excited. They go, let's just stay up here. In fact, Peter says, let's build 3 shelters for each one of you. And we'll just camp out here for as long as we possibly can. They wanted to be in the presence of God that much. They didn't want to go back down where there were people who were hurting, who were hungry, who were going through difficult times. Man, it's so much better just to stay up on a mountain where they got a glimpse of who Jesus really was. And they got a glimpse of who God really is. And they got a glimpse of not only who Jesus is, but who they could become in Him. See, that's what the transfiguration is. The transfiguration is a transformational moment in our lives when we begin to get a glimpse of who Jesus Christ is, that He is God Almighty, and who we can be in Him and in His love. Because God's love is transformational. God's love does change us. When we say open up our hearts and we invite Christ in, then the old is gone and the new has come. And folks, that's the tough part about being a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the tough part when we read Scripture. Because all of a sudden we're confronted with our own frailties. We're confronted with our own attitudes. We're confronted with things that we may not agree with. And we have to ask, why do you say that? And then we have to seek the God who loves us for the answers of why He says that. And then we have a choice. Are we going to allow God's grace to change us or not? And God leaves that up to us. But God's light is transformational. It has a way of changing us. And so when we're confronted with that light, let me ask you this morning, what transformation is there that may need to occur in your life? What transformation may need to occur in my life? What are the attitudes that we have regarding ourselves and others that may need to be changed? What are the habits that are there, the habits that aren't just annoying habits? We all have annoying habits. I have, I think, some annoying habits. My wife and my kids will tell me I have lots of them. So would yours, right? But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those habits that are harmful to our relationship with our God. I'm talking about those habits that we have that are harmful or with our relationships with each other. And as we start growing closer to our God and His light shines upon us and those things are revealed and said, this is not healthy, this is hurtful, this is harmful, then the question for us is, are we going to let that light transform us and change us? That's why Paul says this light that has shone into the world has a face. And that light that was blinding to the Israelites all of a sudden became the light of the face of Christ. And in Jesus, we saw the love, the grace, and the transformational power that's available from our God. So as we prepare ourselves to come up for Holy Communion this morning, let me encourage you. That's the light we seek. The light that tells us that we can know God's love, and the light that reminds us that we can become the people that God created us to be in Him. Amen? All right, let me pray for us this morning. Well, say, Heavenly Father, now as we prepare our hearts to come, we ask that You will search us, because our desire is to be holy as You are holy. Our desire is to let our light shine so the people can see the good deeds and praise You. So, Father, as we let our light shine, let it illuminate a path and not blind someone who may be looking for You. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.